Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to episode 173 of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. And this week, we are going to be having an interview that's reviewing my practice and systems with my personal dental coach, Miss Holly Bryant. But as always, before we get started into this week's episode, I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Miss Meredith Cooper-Jones, in her Lily outfit.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us week after week. Before we get started on this awesome episode with Holly Bryant, if you don't know her, she's the best. I do have a review for us. This is from Mr. Teeth. It says, T-Bone is my absolute favorite. Awesome perspective on life and dentistry. Very motivating and inspiring. Keep the content coming, T-Bone.
I thought you were going to read my review. My own
Maybe
review.
Maybe next time.
My own review I gave of the podcast.
Don't give that away. I'm going to use it.
And so tell us, what's going on in the world of 3D dentists? So, you know who sponsors this podcast, yeah, right?
We are sponsored by 3D Dentists. And we've had a great start to the year. Five courses in January, seven courses so far this year. I know I have to say what I know is the best part of the month for you was starting that implant continuum.
Yeah, you know, there are two programs that we've done so far that I absolutely love. One is the Millennial Mastermind. It's an ongoing six-month program, so I have constant communication with the nine participants this year. And I hope that we're making a difference in their practice and helping them move forward. And then to get started on the digital implant continuum was pretty awesome. I know oftentimes people have this vision that, you know, as a dental leader or as a speaker or all of these things that we've just got everything figured out. And the Digital Implant Continuum, which is our training program for those who are absolutely new to implants but want to be in implantology in the digital world, has been over 2 years in the making. And I've scheduled it and unscheduled it. I've gotten afraid. I've had imposter syndrome, wondering if people wanted to learn this from me, if I had any business teaching this. Would we have enough content? Would we be able to make it, you know, I want to make everything spectacular. And so it's been 2 years. And I think at the end of the day, what really made it happen was we just put a date on it.
And I sold the tickets. You had no choice.
We had somebody sign up. And I was like, okay, I guess we're making this happen. And what did you think of the program, Meredith?
Oh, it was great. I'm really excited to see these dentists grow. Even from the first day to the third day of the first weekend was eye-opening, and it was definitely changing for all of them.
Yeah, so, you know, we're doing very good at 3D Dentists. I'm very proud of where we've come and what we've become, and really it's just a reflection of my practice. But with that being said, the truth is I am a mere human being. with a weight problem and a very dark tan.
That I would like to have.
that some people would kill for, and I would walk out with...
I'm constantly trying to get a tan.
And but what does come at the expense of the success with 3D dentists is my energy and motivation in the practice. And over the last few years, I have certainly been less motivated in my office. We're doing well, but in my opinion, we're not hitting our potential. We've moved away from some of the things that got us there, some of the things that made us that unique and different. And, you know, it was time for me to bring somebody in. And, you know, the truth is I have the choice of probably bringing in any personal consultant, coach, whatever you want to call them in. I could get them for free. I could do any of those things. But I chose Holly and I paid for it. She didn't even give me a discount. I don't blame her for not giving me a discount, to be quite honest with you. But I chose her because she does to me what I probably do to other people. And that is them and make them uncomfortable. And she pushes me and makes me uncomfortable in ways that other people just haven't been able to do.
She's a pusher. She does it to everyone.
I know. Yeah. And we've had her in the practice before.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw a big boost then. And then, as usual, I said, I can do it myself. And then so now we went back to bring her into the office. And I see no harm in admitting that we need a coach, that our practice isn't achieving the potential that I hope for it, and that we have some growth to do. And the beauty of it is there's so much potential. And I think, what do you think? The team responded well to her first visit?
Oh, yeah. I think it was an eye-opener for all of them. Only maybe two or three of us had her before.
Right.
And there's 12 of us working in the office. So yeah,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah. So it was new to most people. We kind of gave everyone a forewarning. We were like, brace yourselves. But yeah. I think it was really good. I think everybody is excited to move forward.
Well, enough talk about it. Let's get to our interview this week with Ms. Holly Bryant, episode 173 of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. I'm joined today by Holly Bryant. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm awesome.
Holly, you always make me uncomfortable, which is why I always like being around you.
Well, it makes me so uncomfortable.
Well, you push me in ways that most people don't push me or bother to push me or care to push me, which is important. And that's why I wanted to bring you on. I wanted to talk today about, you know, I want to be a little bit personal and a little bit vulnerable about some things. 2019 was a good year for me. Okay, I did very well. 3D dentist did good. My wife's practice did good. I put attention to those things. But when you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. And an area that I said no to a little bit was my practice. And part of that is because my practice has been successful, has been high performing, and it was successful and it was high performing in 2019. But I felt like I've taken some steps backwards. And what I've always believed is that when you don't reach where you want to reach, it's not some fancy trick or some fancy thing that's going to get you there. It's really probably looking at some of the fundamentals in your practice. And one thing I've realized very clearly this year is that I have a bandwidth issue. I don't have the bandwidth I had 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
I have a 14-year-old, I have a 12-year-old, I have a 10-year-old. You know, I'm at a different stage in my life. So I wanted to bring you in to coach our practice, and I wanted to give our listeners an insight into some of the things that we're noticing and some of the things that we're doing about it. And what I would like to do, as long as things go pretty well, some things I'm a little uncomfortable with, but that's okay. We got to get uncomfortable. Is I would like to have some quarterly updates as you come in to visit about where we're at and what we're doing. And for me, it's not necessarily about how much money or how much growth it is. I'm not measuring that right now. That's not the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me is feeling that my practice is where I want it to be. And I feel like maybe the last 6 to 7 months
it's moved a little bit away from that. I feel like I'm working harder, not smarter.
Sure.
Which is a big problem for me. So let's talk about some of the things that you noticed and observed in the office today.
Well, for me, this is customizable. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And when doctors feel uncomfortable about what the pulse of their practice and what's going on, we back it up with some data to prove that it's actually what's happening. You and I both have agreements and disagreements on mindset. I don't always feel like you got to give up something to get something else. We just have to figure out how to replace ourselves.
Right.
But when we talk about in terms of replacing ourselves, truly replacing everything we do with someone else, not replacing the mechanics of what we do.
And I would say that I've done a good job, not great, but a good, probably by most standards, very good job of replacing some of the basic dentistry that I don't want to do.
Absolutely.
Okay. I've done a good job.
Phenomenal job at that.
Pretty good.
And you've been really doing that well. I think the last time we were together was a few years ago, and you've done really well on some non-negotiable things that you've stuck to. These are things I'm totally giving away. These are things I really want to make someone else successful.
But I think where I haven't worked on replacing myself well enough is on the leadership in the practice. And I think that's probably, quite frankly, my number one challenge in the practice is that while I'm a good leader, I do believe I'm a good leader, I am focused in leading in other areas, and the practice is what I hate to use the word suffer, but it's what gets the least attention right now.
Absolutely. And so today, the observation was to back up the feelings that you had.
Right.
And I backed them up with some facts, correct?
Right, absolutely. So let's talk about it. What did you notice?
So some facts are some things that we noticed was our billing system, our AR. Mm-hmm. We are not tightened up like we should be.
Sure.
We're not following the system that has successfully built your business.
That's correct.
And that may have come from change of management, change of administrative positions. And over the changes, systems get diluted if they're not properly trained on.
And AR is a system that's very easy to kind of forget about because, you know, one of the things we look at is the bank account growing.
Right. Bank account's good. Hey, why do I got to go ask a question?
Right.
Why do I got to put my finger on that pulse if my bank account looks nice?
Yeah.
But if your bank account looks nice because many other business adventures.
Or the
bank account looks nice because I've done, you know, 4 hybrids this quarter.
Right.
A lot of things can disguise the bank account to look nice, and doctors get deceived by that. And they trust.
What should AR look like in a practice?
We should always verify.
Right. Absolutely. Right? You got to delegate, but not abdicate. Abdicate, whatever it is, right?
You teach it. Yeah, preach it, baby.
I get it. So what I think AR should look like 1x monthly revenue.
Absolutely. You know it. It's innately in your head. This is what we do. But now when you verify that into your practice system, does it look like that?
No, it doesn't right now.
Right. So then immediately you start going, why doesn't it?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, because we've broken down. we've broken down systems. So right. to me, AR comes down to one issue is you're not collecting at the time of service.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I don't think that's our biggest issue. Nope. I think our biggest issue is we're probably not following up on the back end when insurance doesn't pay as much or whatever it may right. be. Okay.
Oh, so, I'll collect it in 6 months. I know they're on the schedule yeah, for hygiene.
Sure. Minor things. $10 right. here, $20 there, $50 here.
Absolutely.
It adds up. Next thing you know, you're at $300,000.
Right. I made a phone call, but man, next month I'm so busy I didn't have time to make right. phone calls.
Absolutely. So, all right. So you notice the AR issue. Okay. What yes, else?
Absolutely. Hygiene recall.
Okay.
You all brought an enormous amount of new patients into the practice last year.
Yeah. I think almost 400 some new patients last year.
So that's a large quantity.
That's new patient, hygiene patients.
Yeah. That's a large quantity of new patients coming in for a new patient experience, but they're only a new patient one time.
Right.
But never, you know, a hygiene recall system works two ways. It works with what my hygienists are doing every day.
Right.
So at the chair, they're rescheduling. They're not asking, do you yeah. want to rebook?
But
your
we're doing, I think we're, I know, I don't think, I know we're doing a pretty good job there. That number's north of 80%.
And that's
and I know we want it north of 90 or whatever, but 80%.
But the difference between 80% and 90% is one word. Whew, one
that's
word.
A lot. Yeah.
It's one word.
What's that?
10% is the word let's.
Yeah.
Ms. Jones, let's go ahead and get this next appointment on the books. It creates a proactive effect. It creates urgency. But when I walk into a practice and I hear a hygienist, who's a good hygienist, say, do you want to rebook your next appointment?
And by the way, 10% is like 200 patients.
So 10% at 200 patients yeah. at $200 per patient, that's only hygiene revenue. What about treatment planning revenue lost?
That. Yeah.
That's the difference between a good year and a great year.
Or even more, because there's a higher tendency for those patients to find another dentist.
Absolutely. The market's yeah. big, and a lot of doctors are super smart, and they're doing a lot of marketing. So they will take your patients if you're not going to keep your patients.
Right.
So relationships are important, but one word, the word let's
yeah.
implies urgency, importance, value. The word, you know, but so many times I hear a hygienist just say, you know, Dr. Agarwal, would you like to go ahead and book your next appointment? As if you have a choice.
Okay.
As if there's not really that much importance on it.
So to me, hygiene recall is two parts.
So two
part
parts.
One is
what
the
happens
on the
day.
Front end.
Absolutely.
And then the back end.
And then the back end of, you know, there's great systems out there that allow us to constantly keep our finger on what our reappointment rates are and who's due, things like that. But then there's the good old manual way of pulling the report.
And calling.
And actually picking up the phone and saying, I love you and I have a relationship with you and you're important to me.
Who should be doing that in the office?
And I want to. Hygiene coordinators are phenomenal people. I really like it to have an assigned duty. Mm-hmm. Everybody's responsible for answering the phone that's in an administrative position or a coordinating position. But I really want to have a point person doing it, because if so, then I can hold that person accountable. So
you don't think it should be the hygienist necessarily?
If they have a broken appointment and they have an hour of free time, yeah. their value is better served
I find
calling
that
some urgency, recalling on treatment.
I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Okay? But I find that in reality, that becomes unbelievably hard. Number one, you have to assume that they're going to drop what do actually they're usually what I find is that they're busy catching up on sterilization,
sure,
busy writing notes, busy doing the other things.
Sure.
The
other things of dentistry, the
that
daily
are important,
tasks.
Yeah.
But guess what? That's an ongoing fight, not just with you, with everybody.
Every yeah.
businessman
no, no
in dentistry.
Yeah.
And for me, we get divas of dentistry that say, mm-hmm. I should never do sterilization. No.
I don't want to go down this
road. We don't want to go down that road. Yeah. But guess what? I look and I monetize my hygienist to say, where's their next most profitable procedure that they can do if they're not physically providing care?
It's providing care for the future.
Future care. And
building it up, right?
Right.
So, but what I do like, and we'll get into what
yeah,
some of the
absolutely.
Things that we're changing is I believe that it should be assigned to a front office team member.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they definitely collaborate. They definitely ask for support.
Yeah. So there might be a few patients that, hey, this is the patient I need you to call. You have a
absolutely.
Great relationship with them. But somebody on the front end needs to own that.
Yes. And ownership in the practice allows you. Everybody wants to please their CEO. Mm-hmm. So if I can.
You know, I have a problem with that.
But if
term.
I know you do. But if you'll own it, you won't be as uncomfortable
Look,
at
I,
our next.
I'll argue that most dentists are not CEOs. One, we don't have the training. Two, we don't need that level of training. And three, you can't truly be a CEO if you're the actual operator of your practice. So the CEO of McDonald's doesn't actually flip burgers. He or she may have at one time, but to me, to really be a CEO of a dental practice, you have to almost essentially stop doing dentistry because you need to take on a leadership role within the office. So I don't believe I'm a CEO. I'm working on
the mind shift there.
Sure.
You know, though, sure.
I shouldn't do things that CEOs do. Yeah. Or I shouldn't be, but I don't like how easily people throw around the term be the CEO of your practice, when the truth is if your practice is open for 32 hours a week and you're working on patients 32 hours a week, you by definition cannot be a CEO of your practice.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
But let's not go down. We're both rabbit hole seekers.
We are.
So what's next?
So we talked about accounts receivable. We've talked about the pulse of your hygiene, of your hygiene recall. I look and I say, wow, I'm still following the steps. Tarun's still following the steps. He's got monthly meetings on the books. He's got morning huddles on the books.
But they become stale.
And they become diluted.
Whatever you want to call it. I call it stale.
You call it stale. I call it the potency, the value of them have been lost because we're missing some of those key components that actually was a reason, the push of why we did the huddle.
Yeah.
The huddle is the
game
plan.
But isn't that normal for people to get off track?
Yeah, because it's like a marriage. We get relaxed. Mm-hmm. I love you. You love me. We know each other. We get each other. I can look at you. You can wink three times and move your eyebrow twice. And I know what that means.
Right.
You know, when I see that face, I get it. When I see your eyes move a certain way, I'm like, oh, yeah, great. He wants me to hurry and move on. And eventually, we lost what the effectiveness really was because of our level of comfort.
Yeah, it's been 20 years in practice.
You got comfortable and really became tired of hearing some of the things that the rest of your team needs
to hear. Part of the challenge is I don't go to morning huddles anymore because I drop my kids to school. Right.
So we'll talk about how to fix that.
But
that
also comes back to what I said is I didn't do a good job of replacing myself on the leadership side of the practice. So we've gotten away from some of the fundamentals of why we're having the meetings. We're going through the motions of having the meetings, but they're not nearly as effective or as focused as we need them to be.
Right. So they're all there.
Yeah.
They're just not being utilized to the level that
basic stuff
that makes it super valuable.
All right, next.
So those are a huge piece. The next one's really insurance plans of evaluating, how valuable are they? Are we losing money by accepting this plan? Mm-hmm. Are we in a place to where you have outgrown a plan or we need to kind of shift patients to another provider in your practice? And pull you outside of a network. So then you continue to grow who you are.
Okay.
And your associates continue to grow who they are.
All right. So we looked at four things.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to be clear with people. These are very... But these are basic things. I don't want people to think like, well, why'd you hire somebody or bring somebody in to look at such basic things? Right. But the analogy I use, and some people will get it and some won't, is when you first go to a swing coach for your golf swing, the first thing they evaluate is your alignment, your stance, your grip, your basic fundamentals of your swing, right?
Absolutely.
So what we're doing here is we're evaluating the first basic fundamental areas of the practice. And also they happen to be around areas that I myself am recognizing that these are the areas that I noticed that we're lacking in.
Right.
And that we need to address. Because truth is we can't get into more advanced areas until we have good firm foundation. Right. And so we got to have a good foundation because we can't get to very large complex cases beyond one or two people doing them.
Absolutely.
You can't get to multiple people doing them without a good foundation in place of all of these things. You can't get a third hygienist or fourth hygienist if you don't have a good recall system in place. You know, you can't do some of those things that I know that we need to and want to do.
So you're my golf guy. Yeah. And I love that. Well, I kind of go to something even more basic. A homeowner. If you're going to own a home, you can't just expect to buy it and it's going to be hold its value and it's going to be great and amazing for the next 30 years you make payments on it.
It doesn't.
Right. There's things we do to constantly keep it at its value, but also to increase its value.
And to maintain.
and maintain.
Yeah.
So even though we're living in it every day and we're comfortable inside of it, we want to keep it at its peak value. We want to grow it and keep it. If things get old, we replace them. Right. Man, I've walked into doctor's offices and look around and I immediately know what kind of personality I'm dealing with based on what the furniture in the waiting room looks like.
Does mine look okay?
Right now it looks great, but we're going to be on the brink in about a year and a half. Yeah.
Because it's been about 3 years. It's been about 3 years since
we need to start planning on it's time.
Just talk to Mona. It'll be taken care of. All right. So now let's give the listeners a look into some of the things that we're going to be doing we're going to be focused on for the next couple of months.
Okay. So immediately for you is we have to replace you not just as a service provider, but a leader.
Right.
But I can't have you sacrificing other areas of your life. One thing that we know is non-negotiable is you're going to take your time off, right?
Yep.
You've got kids.
My wife is making me take the time.
Yes, but you have kids. You have, they all have needs.
You when you have a 14, a 12, a 10-year-old kid and a wife, you got to have time off.
But these are crucial years.
Yes. More so now than ever.
Because right now is really building the foundation of a relationship of are they going to, right now they still like you. And they still think you might be corny dad, but they like you and they're not embarrassed to be seen with you.
They're forced to do all those things.
And they still need you because you're, you basically feed them.
My daughter needed $25 this morning for her lost ID.
Right. So they need you. So right now you have their attention. You need to keep their attention and the relationship part is super important. So we're not sacrificing the personal life. Okay. Got to have it,
it's
right?
It's non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. You're building other business streams of revenue, right?
Right. Absolutely.
That have given other dentists, other fulfilling pieces of what you're searching for as an entrepreneur.
Right.
But also as a dentist who wants to give back, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
3D dentist is very important to me.
Not going to give, not sacrificing. Can't sacrifice that, right?
You can't be as focused on it as absolutely.
Right. But you got to just keep replacing yourself and
we've done a good job of that in 2019.
Fantastic job of that. Fantastic. So in the practice, we have to do the exact same thing. So I don't need more days from you.
Right.
But I need your finger back on the pulse.
Right. In other words, I got to be an active leader in the office.
So then you're like, Holly, that's the multi-million-dollar question. How do I do that without having to show up and be there every single day? Or like you said, I'm not at the huddle. I can't be. You got to take your kids to school, right? You are the chauffeur.
In the morning,
you're the school bus, right? Yeah. School bus. So if you're the school bus and you know, and you tell me, not going to be there. So how do we get it accountable and hold it accountable? So things that I love to do is I love to use technology. So I'm not going to mess up your car time with your kids.
Right.
Because that's its own sideshow, right?
Yeah.
Might get famous one day.
Never.
But I'm going to. But it's great. It's making great memories. So, but we can video it for accountability.
Right.
So you can go back and look at the plays and make sure they're still doing it.
Well, technically,
you can spot check it.
Technically, the morning huddle is on my drive from school to the office.
Yes.
So in theory, I could listen in.
You could, but I don't want you to. All I want you to do is make them video it so then we hold them accountable because they know they're on video, right?
Yeah.
And then when you get to the office, if you want to take 10 minutes to watch it, then I'm going to encourage you to do that. Okay. But I can't distract you from your children.
Right.
Because if I make you listen and log in, then it defeats the purpose of why you were
there with the kid. Yeah.
Why you're the school bus.
Yeah, why I'm jumping to school.
All right. Why you're sacrificing your time from not having that amazing 7-to-3 schedule because you made a family sacrifice to say, I want that quality time with my kids.
Right.
So I don't want to dilute that quality time. So accountability is huge. So if it's a video, you can watch it when you walk in the door, right?
Gotcha.
Great. Watch it, but then they're going to be peak performers because they know you're watching.
Okay.
You're not distracted because you will give it attention for 10 minutes when you walk in the door. And you'll be up to speed on what's going on.
Okay.
Correct? So we've figured out how to replace you in the huddle and hold them accountable to the highest level, right?
Right.
This works for you. Is it going to work for every doctor?
You don't know.
We know that there is a way, correct?
Let's get back to the
Yeah, but we know it's a way.
Right.
So that's how we're going to fix one thing.
Right.
Two, how do you keep your finger on the pulse? Yeah, there's stuff like dental intel, practice by numbers,
all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, you name it, it's out there.
I've always believed that those programs have a masterful place in practices.
Absolutely.
But we have to earn the right to get
to
there.
To use them.
Okay. And I think there's a value in learning and doing things manually for a period of time before you allow technology to come in.
To automate it, yeah. Right? But then there's also that level of manual. If we don't learn that, what happens if that technology piece is malfunctioning one day?
Or we decide to stop paying for it.
Or if we forget to pay our bill, yeah. And they pause us.
Right.
What happens? All of a sudden, we can't do it. We don't know what to do. So we have to learn the good old manual labor piece.
Gotcha.
So
we're going to focus on how are we going to work on our AR. So our plan of action, from what you said to me, is that we're going to assign a person, Madison in our case, to be responsible for AR on a monthly basis.
So AR is two parts. Okay. So Madison is going to be responsible for my aging claims.
The back end. Right.
The money that she's going to work, the calls to the insurance company. It's going to be her project in between patients as an administrator. She's going to coordinate those calls. She's going to work the first of every month. She's going to work her 90-day aging claims. The second week of every month, she's going to work her 60 to 89.
Okay.
Third week of the month, we're going to go down and we're going to work our 31 to what?
15 days, whatever it is, yeah.
And then the fourth week, we're going to work on our current because it will have been out.
Almost 30 days of the month.
Right. Then the next month, we're going to start again. Every time she does it, she's going to enter a note.
So we're going to re-implement a system, have an owner, a champion of that system.
A champion.
Yeah.
And she's going to know her score because she's going to be able to report at the monthly meeting. Here's where I started. Here's how many calls I was able to make. Here's the money I recaptured for the practice. Okay. Now she just monetized this system, right?
Okay. We're going to work on our recall.
Well, we're going to work on the other part of AR, which is going to be our manager.
Okay.
Is going to really make sure that we are working on our collections portion of things.
Right.
Both play into each other.
Yeah.
So,
the collections portion creates half the AR.
Right.
The back end
so we're going to work on our collections. We're going to make sure that people are paying their payment plans. Yeah. And we don't have any failing credit cards. Y'all are phenomenal at that.
95%, 96% there.
Absolutely. And I'm fine with payment plans as long as we have cards on file.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Which we do. Yeah.
So, but we've got to make sure that we're balance billing when a check is posted. I love it. We've got to make sure that we're sending out statements every month. And we got to make sure that we're working those past due amounts and we're collecting that. So we start with the oldest and we work from the oldest to the newest. By the end of the month, people who had 15 days to pay now are past due.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to call and collect those payments. And we're going to work it every single month. You're never going to give up on that system, right?
Right.
It's a fundamental of a business.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a practice or not. Your
manager? Easy for me to say that when we've gone through this before and then slowly things get out of whack.
Yeah, because it feels good and things are going well. Things are great. So we just back it up with data. So that's our accounts receivable that we're really going to handle, and we've given ourselves some champions, and they're going to track their scores, right? So that will help you to know, are we doing better, worse, where are we at?
Okay.
Everybody has something to report. Now, so we've got our AR, we've got our hygiene recall, we've figured out how we're going to do our daily meetings.
Right.
Never really talked about the fact that you're at split schedule, so you're running two huddles every day.
Right. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to do, it's a trial. To me, everything's an experiment.
Right.
Okay. Everything's subject to change with me in my life. Okay. I believe, I firmly believe that as dental practices, we have to meet our patients and we have to be more consumer focused and patient friendly. I believe with the influx of DSOs into North Carolina and with dental practices that are open day and night, literally, we have to be a little bit more available for our patients. So we've gone to a schedule of 7 to 3 and 10 to 6.
Sure.
So what we've accomplished by doing that, and we're doing that 3 days a week, is we've added 3 hours per day to our schedule because we have now the 7 to 8 hour.
Absolutely.
We have the 1 to 2 hour because we don't have lunch anymore. And we have the 5 to 6 hour.
Sure.
So we've added 3 hours a day times 3 days. So we've added 9 hours a week of patient time availability without increasing our team overhead. We've given our team a chance to have some time to get life done. Like they've already commented, hey, I can actually pick my kids up from school,
right.
or hey, I can go get a workout in Absolutely. In the morning. So we're seeing some of the benefits of that. And frankly, it's also relieved some of the congestion in the office. It's a little bit quieter at the 7 to 10 point and a little quieter at the 3 to 6 point than it was in the past. So I'm already seeing the benefits of that.
So you made a couple mentions of some really key points.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
There that doctors have to be aware of.
Right.
You say it very nonchalantly and very casual that it's all good, but doctors have to hear the warning on the label.
Right.
Warnings. If we're not meeting our goals, don't extend your hours.
Right.
Right? Because then it just dilutes your hourly
goal. I'm not a big,
But what we're doing in your practice by doing this is we're able to, you made some key points. We didn't increase our staff overhead, right?
Practice overhead. No
team overhead did not increase.
That's correct.
We fixed a congestion issue that was happening,
which
right?
Which is a big congestion issue.
And a huge piece for you is noise control. If it feels really busy and really loud,
I don't like it.
That makes you uncomfortable.
Right, absolutely.
So we're trying to create an atmosphere, a higher calm. End, a calm, a really different feeling.
Yeah, I don't want my lobby to ever be full.
Right. So by doing that, we haven't increased staff cost. We have fixed a congestion issue, right?
Right, absolutely.
But we've also given you still the autonomy of being a solo provider at the times when you have an early morning.
Right.
That's your time with patients and you run hygiene and you run your part when you're there by yourself. And then it gives your associate some time to be an individual provider.
Right, he gets his leadership time.
And his time to really start trying on that for a fit, correct?
Right. Absolutely.
So those are huge pieces. Warning, doctors. Follow the warning.
Well, I think the other piece of that is we, look, when I started in dentistry in 1999, offices were open 4 days a week, 32
Absolutely.
Hours a week, Monday to Thursday, 8 to 5 in North Carolina. And now it's not uncommon to see practices, almost all of them open 5 days a week.
Absolutely.
And now it's not uncommon to see practices being open early and or late hours, not as in late into the night,
right.
but at least
we're
some.
Starting to follow a little bit of medical and medicine model, which is they set the precedence for this.
Consumer minded.
Right.
Consumers want to come.
It is consumers, but it's also shift work.
Yeah.
I mean, what other facilities, what other areas of business don't have shifts?
Yeah.
We can have shift work.
We need to.
Can be consumer minded that way. So those are some key warnings on this is you're doing a great job and you made this decision, but you made it for the right reasons, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we got our warning.
Right.
So we're fixing. So we went into some shifts. We're working on our AR, right? Work on our hygiene recall. We got our huddle squared up.
Right.
Now we got to work on our level of communication.
Right.
So huge piece.
And when you say communication, are you referring to patient communication or inter-team member communication?
Inter-team member communication.
Okay.
As far as collaboration, keeping your body as a whole and as a unit. You all do great. You still wear the earpieces. You're still talking. You're still calling. I love that. Great.
Too much talking, but yeah.
Sometimes, yes, too much talking. But that's a little bit of refinement, a little tightening up that we can do to remind everybody what those headsets are for. Heads up, they're for, you know, quick, brief things, not so much what we're ordering at Starbucks, right?
That's correct.
And joke of the day.
Or what we want for lunch.
Right.
That's why we don't have a lunch anymore. But yeah.
We don't need to determine what we want. Yeah.
About lunch, we'll get rid of lunch.
Get rid of lunch. We're never talking about lunch again.
Right.
So, but it's always keeping everybody communicating because you all are doing higher level cases. And by doing bigger, more complex cases, it takes more providers doing it, right?
Right.
And we can't just stop the world and have a sit-down meeting. We have to learn to use our technology. So we're going to kind of bring all of our Google Docs and everything that
we've been using.
That you've been using. We're not getting rid of that, but we're going to bring them under one umbrella.
So we're going to do Slack.
We're going to do Slack. And it's a free app, but it allows us to communicate, to have threads, to have a thread for our practice protocols and keep everybody accountable for the systems we implement, right?
And there's historical data that somebody ever says.
Historical data, search anything. Yeah. We can upload documents. We can attach it to our calendars. We can share the keys or we can change the locks, right?
Right.
So if I love you, you're in.
If I don't love you anymore, we can
If you're about
you
to
out.
Get fired, you've already been kicked off Slack, right?
No joke. So the day before, right?
The day before you're gone.
All right.
So no chance to download anything, right? But it's going to keep us talking. It's going to keep us, some doctors have the traditional text messaging, right? Yeah. Group text.
Yeah. Now, we've had that.
We've had it at night. You've got something important to say, but you're trying to be respectful of everybody's time. Yeah. And now you need everybody to acknowledge that they received your message, right? So you could have 14 text messages from one small request that you send out, correct? That's not always great to hear ding, 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 ding. So this way.
Most of them turn it off anyway.
Right. Or ignore you. Right, and then you don't know if everybody got the message. So this just is going to keep us accountable. We're going to be able to hold accountability to the systems because they're written down. They're uploaded there. And then we're going to keep our finger on the pulse.
All right.
Right.
And I think the other thing that we decided that we're going to do, and it's not, look, none of this stuff is stuff that I've like, not wanting to do. It's just a matter of executing. And sometimes, quite frankly, it's just confirmation. Sometimes we just need somebody to tell us it's going to be okay. And I think this next one is one that I just need somebody to tell me it's going to be okay. So our practice is in network with 7 different PPOs.
Yep.
Okay. I'm in network with 4. I dropped MetLife, which is the worst of the worst in North Carolina, at least in our area it is. So I think 2020 is the year that I personally drop out of network for everything.
Right.
So probably within 3 months from now, I should be out of network for all plans. Me.
Just you. Disclaimer.
But not the practice.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Don't make this decision, doctors, until you've evaluated it.
Yeah.
And until you've really seen what the effects of your practice and what where you're at in your career, right, is you're trying to shift. Trying to shift some business towards really making sure that your associate is going to be working at their fullest potential so that they can prepare for partnership, right?
Absolutely. But also part of it is I want to get paid for my work.
Absolutely.
I want to be able to get paid for the level of dentistry that I'm doing, and I don't want the confines of insurance. Now, if I needed it to survive, you better damn believe I would take it.
Sure.
And I would, I'll argue to people that I don't believe in dropping insurances as a practice necessarily, but we're not. So we're dropping it as a single provider.
Right.
Patients can, all my MetLife patients can still come to the practice. My Delta patient can still come to the practice. All of that can continue to happen.
And many of them will stay with you because they love you.
Sure.
And that, all that does is it increases your collections rate. It makes your per hour rate go up. The practice doesn't suffer. Right? No one's losing their jobs. The teams are not going to suffer, but it's a pretty easy change to increase your bottom line and keep you from having to go hardcore back in the practice.
Right.
And
absolutely.
We're shifting some relationships.
Yeah.
So practice will still stay busy. Practice will still make money. So, but you'll make your money a little differently inside of the practice.
Absolutely.
And you and I've talked about this. You've been ready for a while.
Yeah.
But sometimes hearing that you're ready and actually getting ready.
Listen, I think the hardest part of everything is just pulling the trigger.
Sure.
To be quite honest with you. And I had such fear when I dropped MetLife 2 years ago. And
your practice grew, though, 2 years ago. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It grew. I mean, non-issue whatsoever. You know, we lost a few, no question. But it was a non-issue. So I don't think it'll be a big issue at the end of the day.
So I'm confident it's not going to be an issue. It will be, it takes zero real hardcore thoughtfulness to do this because you're not going to lose a malpractice.
Well, Holly, I've enjoyed having you here for a couple of days. I look forward to, I think you'll be back in a couple of months.
I'll be back in two.
In 2 months.
Yep. So
then we'll reconvene. We'll give people an update on where we're at. If you don't hear from Holly in 2 months, that'll tell you what's happened there.
Really? right. I might have fired you by now.
You might have.
Oh,
you
tell might them have, the disclaimer.
You might have
this
come to
this is a
your
mutual
senses.
Relationship, no, right?
100%.
Okay.
And I don't think either way that'll happen, or the reverse would happen. But you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to move forward, to tighten up.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think tighten up is not about removing expenses or any of that. I think tighten up is about getting back to the fundamental things. And it's so easy. Look, it's so easy. You add implants to your office, you add sleep to your practice, you add ortho to your practice, you add a new person to your practice. You have one person turn over here. You have one person, you know, get pregnant and have this change there. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, it's not the same practice that you had just a few short years ago.
Right.
And to me, it's always the first step to moving forward is to reflect on the fundamentals, get those in order, get those tightened up, and then you're able to really, really soar moving forward.
The exciting part of all of this is that you didn't wait until you lost $1 million.
Oh, sure. Or we didn't wait till the practice was declining or anything like that.
You didn't wait
until... But I will argue that the practice is... if it's not growing 5% per year, then it's declining.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, we had a flat year. I can give you all the reasons we had a flat year.
Sure.
But nonetheless, we had a flat year. We had 8 weeks where we had one less hygienist. We had 30 less doctor days. We did 8 less full arch implant cases. So in theory, we didn't have a flat year, but we had a flat year. So.
And you did. And you know, your costs went up.
Yep. Absolutely.
So if costs are going up and...
And I want my team to continue to make more. So I'm not, I'm still making more than enough to be happy, but
this is their careers. And they're going to be working long after you're lurking, right?
Probably. I'm going to drop dead one day, but yeah.
Yeah, but man, this is their career. So for you to have that thoughtfulness of, I need to make sure they're still provided for, that's the majority of what dentists are thinking is, I want to take care of everyone. They're my family, they're relationship guys, and they want to be taking care of everybody. So to do this, you got to bring in some outside people sometimes, but you don't wait until it's spinning out of control.
I'll always argue to people that it is nothing wrong with bringing outside people in. And in fact, you almost always have to, because as dentists, we are operating on our patients. We're doing the work on our patients. We can't have eyes everywhere.
Okay.
So we got to have some leadership. We got to have some, we have to have somebody, you know, holding us accountable as owners of the practice. So, Holly, thank you.
And
we'll have you back in a couple of months.